So here we are. Yay! I'm excited and thrilled about being here. And I have felt very warmly greeted and welcomed. I'm just so, I feel like I've been here for years. So, but there's a story that I want to start out with today because I think it really perfectly sets the stage for talking about turning points. Because this is a major turning point for us, for this church, for me, for you. And it's a story called Free as the Wind. And it's about a young boy growing up on a farm in Indiana. And he knows what's expected of him, you know, get the chores done and get the homework done on time and be a doctor when you grow up. Because there were three generations of men in the family who were all doctors. So there was an expectation there. But as college was nearing, he began to have this feeling in his heart that being a doctor just wasn't what he wanted to do. And so he was, you know, a little concerned how to tell his father, because he was afraid that he wasn't the son his father had imagined him to be. And so the summer before college came, and he's struggling with, how am I going to tell Dad? I don't want to go into medicine. And he had a little distraction, because on the farm, his father had a kennel of bird dogs, and this young man was in charge of training the bird dogs. So his father had just received a golden retriever puppy as payment for some of his medical service. And he turned this puppy over to his son to train. So he had a little distraction that summer before college training this bird dog. Here's how the story goes. The first part of the training was easy. He mastered the basics: sit, stay, down, walk. His only problem was come. Out in the tall grass, Jerry loved to roam. Birds didn't matter to him, which was not a good thing for a bird dog. Running did. He would just take off through the grass, fast as a wild thing. Running was a kind of glory for him. And despite my intense desire to train him well, I began to feel a strange sense of joy when he ran. I had never failed with a dog before, but I was surely failing now. And when September came, I finally had to tell Dad this dog wouldn't hunt. Well, we'll have to neuter him and pass him off to someone in town for a pet, his dad said. A dog that won't do what he's born to do is sure not worth much. Early the next Saturday, Dad took Jerry out to see for himself what the dog would do. At first, Jerry worked like a pro. His point was classic. And then Jerry took off. He ran along the fence row, then jumped it, his lean body an amazing arc. He ran 100 yards, headed for the pond, hitting the water in high wing-like splashes that caught the dazzle of the sun. He ran as though running were all ease and grace, as though it made him a part of the field, the light, the air. Dad put his hand on my shoulder. We've got to face it, son. He's not going to measure up. The next night I packed for school, then walked out to the kennel to say goodbye to Jerry. He wasn't there. I wondered if Dad had already given him away. The thought I had failed us both made me miserable. When I entered the house, Dad was in his chair near the fireplace reading with Jerry, fast asleep at his feet. He closed his book and said, Son, I know this dog doesn't do what he should, but what he does is something grand. Lifts a man's spirit to see him go. What makes any living thing worth the time of day is that it is what it is and knows it in its bones. I took a deep breath. Dad, I don't think I can do medicine. His expression was so sad I thought my heart would break. But when he looked at me, it was with a regard I hadn't seen before. I know that, he said. What really convinced me was when I watched you with the snow account mutt. You should have seen your face when he went off running. Think about what you tried to do with Jerry. You expected him to be a hunter. You trained him to be. but he just wasn't. How do you feel about that? I thought I'd failed, I said. But when I saw him run, saw how he loves it, I guess I thought that was a good enough thing. It is a good thing, my father said. Now we'll just have to wait to see how you run. He patted me on the back and said good night. I sat down next to Jerry and scratched him between the shoulder blades. I wonder how I'll run too, I whispered to him. I sure do. I sure do. And so with that, I just would invite you to close your eyes for a moment. And I'd like you to look back over your life. Maybe it was the last few years. Maybe it was, 10 or 15 years. Maybe even 40 or 50 years. But look back over your life to a moment where you were not doing what you were meant to do. That maybe you were doing something that somebody else wanted you to do. But you were not doing the thing that you should be doing. Maybe you were in a place in your life that you didn't want to be. What did you do about it? What was the turning point for you? The moment that you decided that you could no longer stay on the path that you were currently on. What did you do? How did you tell your loved ones and your friends? And did they greet you with excitement? Were they supportive? Or did they say, you want to do what? You want to be a Unity minister? You want to change your major from electrical engineering to journalism? Are you crazy? You can't do that. Or were they supportive of you in your new path in life? Did they understand that, when you had to change directions and move from Marietta, Georgia to Bellevue, Washington? Did they say, go for it? I believe in you. You can do it. And when you have your moment, when you have your turning point in your mind, I want to invite you to open your eyes. It was interesting when we moved here, the movers, there were two guys who picked us up in Marietta and delivered us here to Bellevue. They knew I was a minister, and just Friday, one of them said, so what are you talking about on Sunday? And I said, turning points. And he goes, I've had a few of those in my life. So I know everyone here has had a turning point. That moment that you made the decision that it was too painful to continue doing what you were doing and that you changed the course of your life and it changed the journey that you were on. It changed where you were going and where you ended up. And life still hasn't stopped, so there'll be many, many more turning points, hopefully, for all of us. But I'd like you to turn to somebody near you and just for a moment, share your turning point with them. Make it very brief, because it's only going to be a few minutes, and make sure you each get to share. But just share with somebody near you what that moment was, that turning point for you. And if you didn't get to finish, then I invite you to continue the conversation during our social time after the service. But it's important to identify those turning points in your life and to share them with others, because it helps you get clear on the true meaning of what it meant in your life. And today is truly a turning point for this church, isn't it? You know, you have chosen your new senior minister, and I'm here. The day finally arrived that we moved to Bellevue, Washington. We've all been sitting in expectation for a while, right? And we've begun a new and exciting transformational journey together, and who knows what'll happen. But we know that whatever happens, it will be fabulous. It's also a turning point in my life. It's a turning point in your life as well. You know, who knows where the journey is going to take us. And I know the journey has taken me 3,000 miles from what I used to call my home in Georgia. You know, and Bill and I we were in a car for about 7 days and traveled cross country. We went through some spectacular country. We had never seen South Dakota, Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, the state of Washington. We had just a wonderful, wonderful time. Met some very interesting people. Ran into some snow, so we did have to pull over early a couple of days. And we almost ran into some deer. There's a ton of deer in Montana. Woo! They're all over the place. So we had to pull off early a couple nights because they were just all over the place, dead and alive. And we didn't want to add one more to the side of the road, so we kind of stopped. When we pulled off and went to the motel, there's three standing in the middle of the road. I mean, just standing there. So it was a very interesting journey that we found ourselves on. But we arrived here Wednesday afternoon, and then Friday the movers came, and now we're living in a sea of boxes and wondering where everything is and trying to unpack and get everything in its place. In fact, I had intended to wear something different, but I couldn't find parts of it and pantyhose and this and that, so I just said, okay, I'll just wear what I can find. So my drawer that was supposed to be moved full ended up being packed, so I have no idea what boxes everything is in. But, hey, it'll eventually all get into place. I'm not worried about it. But we have these wonderful turning points in our life. And in the process of getting to know each other, I'm going to be setting up getting to know you circles. I'll have sign-up sheets out next Sunday because I would love for you to come and sit in small groups and let's chat and get to know each other. I want to know what's on your heart, and I want you to kind of ask questions of me, and let's co-create something very exciting together. And also in the process of you getting to know me, I wanted to share with you my major turning point in my life. It was when I was 15. I was raised Catholic, and I was on a confessional line, you know, waiting to go in and talk to the priest, as some of you former Catholics know about. And so I was standing there coming up with what I used to call my grocery list of sins. You know, I mean, because 15 years old, how bad, well, you can't, I mean, some kids, I guess, but I was a pretty good kid. So I didn't have too many sins, you know. And so I would say, well, I lied twice. I fought with my sister 4 times. I talked back to my mom twice. And then all of a sudden, I had this amazing, just clear vision. It was one of those kind of white light shaft of white light moments experience where I absolutely knew that I was created in God's perfection, that I was a perfect creation of God. And when I fell out of that perfection, I knew it. And I would have a chat with God, and I would get my heart straight again, and I didn't need to talk to a priest. I was 15. I would have loved to have seen that priest's face when I went into confessional, knelt down, did my, bless me, Father, for I've sinned. It's been 2 weeks since my last confession, and these are my sins. And I stopped there, and I said, I can't do this. I know when I've done something, and I've already talked to God about it, I don't need to tell you. And I will not do any Hail Marys and Our Fathers. So he didn't come out of the confessional, which surprised me, but he did say to me, he said, you know, do you have a Bible at home? And I remembered my mother having this little black book that she would open up and record deaths and births and christenings and weddings. And so he gave me a scripture to read. And fortunately, I don't have it written down anymore. I don't remember what it was. But I remember walking out of that confessional, walking right by the altar, I didn't have to do my Hail Marys and Our Fathers, and walking out of the church. And that was my last time in a Catholic church, other than a wedding or a funeral that I attended. And it was a major turning point for me because it set me on a spiritual journey. And I knew there was something out there for me to find. And that something was unity. And I found unity at the right, perfect moment in my life. That was another turning point. But I'm not going to go into that story. You'll hear that at some point. But these turning points are monumental in moving us to where we are right now. Because that turning point at 15 got me to where I am right now. I'm a Unity minister, and it got me to Unity of Bellevue. Everything unfolds in a perfect divine order. We believe that in unity. Everything is in divine order. And so here we are. And here we begin a great, wonderful, brand new journey together. Martin Luther King Jr., I believe, also had a significant turning point in 1963 when he was delivering a speech in front of the Lincoln Memorial. It was the Civil Rights March on Washington. And Coretta, his wife, said that Martin abandoned his written speech. And she said what followed were, words just flowed from the depth of Martin's being. And out came, "I have a dream." And in that moment, the world was changed. Mahatma Gandhi, he made a decision not to fight the British. And then he made a commitment to a nonviolent path. And in that moment, history was made and the world was transformed. Gandhi went out to the spiritual realm and he caught a vision. And then he brought that vision back into the world to be truly, truly helpful. And others caught that vision. Martin Luther King Jr. caught that vision. Daisaku Ikeda from Japan caught that vision. Other peacemakers have caught that vision. His Holiness the Dalai Lama. What was your turning point? That moment in time that everything changed for you, that you made a decision to go in a different direction. I believe that Jesus' turning point was when he was baptized by John the Baptist. And just listen to what it says in Matthew chapter 3. I'm reading from the Message Bible. I love this. This is a Bible in contemporary language, and I just love the language. "The moment Jesus came up out of the baptismal waters, the skies opened up and he saw God's Spirit. It looked like a dove descending and landing on him. And along with the Spirit, a voice, 'This is my Son, chosen and marked by my love, delight of my life.'" Do you know that you are God, the delight of God's life? Isn't that, we pray for a spiritual experience like this, don't we? That when those moments that we are totally filled with Spirit, totally filled with the whole Spirit of God. And so how do we get to these turning point moments? How do you make it happen? How do we, get ready for a turning point in our life? I don't have a clue. I have no idea. I do know, though, that it takes a great willingness on our part. It takes a deep soul longing, because there is no five steps to a turning point experience. And I can't recommend a book or a CD or a seminar for you to go to. It will happen when you are ready for it to happen. It'll happen when you are ready for it to happen. But one thing you can do to get ready for this moment is to be really, really prayed up and to really, really listen to God. To really get quiet and listen to that voice, that guidance that is coming through all the time, the whispering of Spirit that we hear when we get still and quiet. And then we need to surrender and give God some room to work. We're so busy all the time and holding and controlling. We don't allow Spirit to move in and have its way with us. And then we need to act on the guidance that we receive. Jesus called these moments, I believe, being born anew. Yeah, so what does that mean? In Unity, we believe being born anew means being coming into all that you were created to be, remembering who you are. Isn't that every time you let go of negative thinking, negative stinking thinking, aren't you born anew? You're in a new place. You're in a new perspective. You're in a new frame of mind. Every time you let go of the shame, blame, resentment, anger, fear, all of that stuff, aren't you born anew? Absolutely. You remember your divine potential. You bet. And so in every experience, in every turning point experience, there is a rebirth. And the essential meaning of rebirth is simply change. Change. Thinking differently. Awakening. Transformation. The Hindus call it God realized. The Buddhists call it waking up. In Unity, we call it awakening to Christ consciousness. But there is this metaphor of being born anew, of waking up, of having this transformational aha moment that is a turning point in our life. And within every turning point, there's an experience of the divine. There's an experience of God, whatever you call it. There's that experience, that exquisite experience, when we surrender and we open up to a new dimension of consciousness. You know, as we listen and get quiet and really be still, we begin to have this feeling within us of really being open to that guidance. We can hear the little, I call it the nudging of spirit. You know, you have those little nudges that say, you know, go here, pick up the phone, call this person. You know, you begin to hear and be tuned into, your intuition heightens. And when you really sit and listen to spirit, then you can begin to, you know, go by that gut feeling. You know that, you know what I'm talking about? Where you just, you know that you know that you know this is the right path to be on, or it's not the right path to be on. And then you can really listen and be open and receptive to the turning points in your life, to those defining moments where everything changes. Now, everything in the outer may stay exactly the same. Have you noticed? Work is the same. The people you work with are the same. You know, even people in your household are the same. But you're different because of that turning point. You're different because Spirit has moved and changed you at depth within you. And so you then look out with new eyes because you've been born anew. And you look out and everything, even though it's the same, everything is different. Everything is different. So turning points, really important for you to identify them and to really, really talk about them. See the connection. See the moments that you are shifted and kind of redirected in your life. They're very exciting. They can be very subtle, too. But just be very open to recognizing them. My guess is that every single person in this room is here because you want to grow spiritually. Is that a good guess? I hope that's why you're here. I assume that's why you're here. And so, you know, we want to become all that we were created to be. We want to have that wonderful relationship with God, a deep, personal, intimate relationship. We want to know our oneness with God and bring that oneness into the world. You know, we have been struggling for so long to rationalize the existence of God. We need to give that up. Just give it up. And we need to go for a direct, intimate, personal experience of the divine. Is that what you want? You don't care whether, you know, talk about it. You can talk all you want about God. But to have that personal, intimate experience of the divine, that's what we want. And that happens. That experience of God, our turning points, are only happen in the present moment. You can't be worrying about tomorrow, and you can't be upset and concerned about the past. You've got to be right here for those turning points, those moments, those defining moments to occur in your life. They happen when you're in the presence, moment by moment, breath by breath. And so, you want a turning point in your life, and there can be many of them. My advice to you is to pray. Be quiet. Be quiet. Surrender. Listen to God. And then act on the guidance that you get. And when you come to the edge of all that you know, and you don't know what else to do, just know that the next step that you take, the next step that we take as a spiritual community, one of two things will happen. Either there will be solid ground to stand on, or we will be taught how to fly. It's a guarantee. Guarantee. And so here's to a fabulous journey. Here's to soaring to new heights. I am absolutely thrilled and excited to be here at Unity of Bellevue. And I know this is just the beginning of a very long and fabulous journey together. And aren't we glad that Rita is happy? Thank you. God bless you.